On 88.3 Southern FM, this is Kickoff with Neil Symons and Michael Thompson. Very good morning. We're all listening around here on 88.3 Southern FM. It is good to have football back here in Australia. It's good to see crowds back across not only here in Victoria, but also back at the Sydney Derby last night up at HBF Park to a sellout, which we'll talk more about very, very shortly as well. We're going to talk about the Socceroos too. Disappointing away result against China. We'll talk more about that in depth. And the change to the FIFA qualification rankings, they've come out during the week and changed that a little bit too. We've got 10 Football and Paramount Plus's Campbell Johnson, who's going to be the Queensland commentator, going to be joining us as well to talk about the Brisbane Roar, his new role at 10 Football, and what to expect from the Brisbane Roar in 21-22. And of course, the A-League women's season starts in a couple of weeks' time, so we'll go through some of the teams for that one. You can converse with us anytime on 0404 000 736. But without further ado, I'm going to be introducing these two fine gentlemen as well. Firstly, Neil Symons, who finally made the trip up the highway last night. Neil, how was GMHBA Stadium?
I mean, to see one half of the ground being essentially dirt wasn't great, but because obviously they're redoing that, I think the outlet stand, to obviously do the $140 million upgrade, which you saw a lot of when walking along the concourse. But
and
yeah.
Also because they want to try and get it bigger for, I think, Geelong won like a 35,000-40,000 seat
stadium. Nah, it's just for Woo, mate. It's just for the Woo. Yeah. You know, they're going to pack out 50,000. Nah. I think it all serious. No, it was a good outing. Victory obviously got the win, which we'll talk about a little bit soon. And some other teething issues with Paramount Plus, which was a very common theme throughout the night.
Yep.
But yeah, it was good. Yeah.
And also Clem Tito, who decided to hijack the city presser on Friday. We saw on social media annoying the media major for Melbourne City. Good morning, Clem.
Morning, Tomo. Yeah, it was I think I was just having lunch in the city early in the week, and yeah, just saw that City were holding a presser and thought I'd just rock up and, you know, just say good day to the City boys as obviously work with Melly from City at the leagues. And Jack Kovacic is one of the all-time greats.
He is.
Up-and-comers. So,
shout out to Jack. He's a legend.
Yeah, it was good to sort of, before the presser, Getty Images needed some dummy shots just to prepare for the shots. So yeah, sure enough, I was happy to be a guinea pig, Tomo, so that was good.
Let's talk about Friday night, the season opener between Melbourne City and Brisbane Roar. Interesting start to that one. Roar getting the first one, but two City goals in the end, Clem.
Yeah, I mean, we went to the game on Friday. To be fair, when I walked in, I was kind of expecting crowd-wise sort of a bigger turnout. And then
it was about eight.
Yeah. About I mean,
eight or so thousand.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that, yeah, they didn't even, I don't think, either I was oblivious or I didn't hear them announce it at the game live, so it's usually a bad sign or at the time. So, yeah, it was about 8,000 in the end. And, I mean, the actual game itself was, was good. Bit of a late scare for Melbourne City, but they got the job done in the end. But, yeah, it was so surreal seeing Matthew Leckie play for Melbourne City, play in the A-League. Obviously, he's a Melbourne boy and plenty of times sort of seeing him live for the Socceroos and talking to him, it's just kind of, that makes it even more sort of surreal that he's actually back playing at Australian football's top flight.
Neil, your thoughts on the game on Friday night?
Yeah, I catched bits and pieces of it. I watched a mini-match yesterday. Seems that Naboot is just full pace and power. Didn't really do much. I think Fraud Claren was out inside as well, which is great. That's obviously Jamie McLaren when he's not really scoring much. City looked good in transition. I just felt that Brisbane, as the game sort of reached its conclusion, they really played with the confidence and obviously got that disallowed goal from Kai Truen and Luka Vanovic.
He almost stole a point there as well.
Yeah, I think they were pretty unfortunate not to. There was obviously a lot of chatter in the box last night about, was it offside, was it not? But obviously that it is what it is, and that's a result, and I guess City will be up the top of the table come the end of the week.
Depending on the last two games, which we'll talk about a little bit later on today as well, which is Jets Mariners and MacArthur Wellington. Melbourne Victory and West United. Miranda scoring the only goal in that one up at Geelong last night.
Yeah.
For Victory. Victory gained the 3 points, which it wasn't a pretty game at times, but at least for victory's sake, it was. They got the 3 points.
Should we delve into the Paramount Plus issues as well now? I think that's probably a pretty
if you want to.
Yeah, look, I was there, obviously. It was a good turnout for a West United home game in Geelong, about 8,000, which was pretty good. The victory fans were out in force. Cagey opening. I think there wasn't much in the way of transitional football. It was very static. But obviously, I think Wu got a couple opportunities, Connor Payne with a shot. But Diamante was really good as well. You know, I felt that victory were fortunate to win, but then again, it could have really went either way. And obviously, the Miranda header was important. But it's very good that I could see that in full action, because if I watched that on Paramount Plus, apparently I would have seen a single camera like the NPL for the majority of the fixture. Blurry footage, commentary not in sync. This is what happens when you do your production centralized in New South Wales. But it's not a bad thing. It's just they're going to be teething issues. I think people need to realize that this always happens with new streaming services, KO Sports.
Optus Sport had a few issues too, yeah, when they originally did, but they sort of improved that as well. The NBL also had problems, yeah, with it too over the course when they decided to centralize everything based in Melbourne. Even if they were calling games up in Queensland, up in Sydney, or even in Perth as well, it seemed out of sync a bit.
It wasn't that bad for the Perth game, because but then obviously hearing static commentary, like they're sounding like robots. Poor Kenny Lowe was sounding like a robot. I think overall Paramount, yeah, it's not surprising, but I don't think there's anything to be alarmed about. APL will be on it quickly and should be all right.
I did notice last night, just hearing the post-match interviews on TV, like there was a lot of, I don't know if that was just a technical issue.
Echo.
Yeah, a lot of echo backs.
That's right.
And even like, I'm not even sort of checking social media or anything. And yeah, okay, so you're talking about all these teething issues. I'm like, oh, that's a bit of a, yeah, it's not what you want if you're, you know, the person, you know, organising all that kind of stuff. So
yeah. Bring back Fox Sports, they say. No, please.
And the Sydney Derby, Clem, you really watched that in a bit more detail?
Yeah, I watched it. I guess Sydney FC probably overall, it's a tough one. You know, nil all draws are never sort of fun to watch, but probably Sydney probably just edged in terms of who was better, but at the end of the day, no one won. So it was good to see sort of Jack Rudwell came on as a late substitute, and he almost scored an absolute screamer, if you guys saw. Smashed it from about 40 metres out, and good save in the end by the Sydney FC keeper. But yeah, I mean, probably Sydney FC maybe deserved to win that one, but overall, I mean, they didn't in the end, so
it's good to see. Not a bad crowd as well for the Sydney Derby either.
No.
I saw the RBB,
that atmosphere,
I saw the RBB stuff on Twitter, and
massive
to see that back as well. And it's good that a game of that elk can be sort of a centerpiece for both Sydney sides to head into the new season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's, you know, really important that Western Sydney really capitalize on the squad that they have this season. Jack Waldwell, Tom Ohemed, Dubi Petrados, Bernie Abini, James Chirisi, Steve Ugarkovic, Terry Antonis, Rhys Williams. The names don't stop there. They've got a really, really good squad composition, depth, and also youth coming through as well. So, yeah, good to see that. And also the halftime show with Patrick and SpongeBob lighting it up. Michael Turner had to deal with that. Apparently, it was one of the greatest things he's ever done in his entire career. So, yeah, good stuff. But yeah, good to see that it went smoothly, and we'll hopefully see some viewership statistics on that either during the show or after.
And the game I watched in a bit more detail was the 1-1 draw between Perth Glory and Adelaide United. I feel really bad for Burke Gilroy, though. Denied a really good goal as well to put Perth Glory in front. Bit of free-flowing game from both sides. I wasn't expecting a 1-1 draw. I was expecting maybe a little bit more. It was sold out too, by the way. 17,000 at HBF Park. Daniel Sturry started on the bench. He came on the latter part of the second half for about 10 or so minutes. So I think he's trying to get himself a bit more adapted to the Australian football, because he's so used to what it's like over in Europe as well. Bruno Fortaroli with a howler, though. It's probably one of the goals of the season so far, but hopefully it's the first of many for him as well. And I do want to see the best of Bruno Fortaroli from a Perth Glory standpoint too. And also another thing too, guys. For Perth Glory, this is actually their only home fixture, because they've got to travel now due to the border bans brought in by the WA government, so they don't have another home game until the new year.
Yeah, I was going to say, you say the game was a sellout. Was there anyone in the away end last night? Or?
No, there would be. No, yeah. Maybe, I don't know. But Adelaide actually looked really... I think Josh Cavallo, like, he looked really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
like, I think, as you said before, like, he's obviously got a spring in his step now that he's obviously come out with his announcement, and he looks really good. Also, yeah, good to see Burke Giro getting the score sheet, well, for, albeit briefly, NPL favourite of mine. But yeah, I mean, of what I saw, I think very end-to-end Fornaroli, vintage Fornaroli, just with a long-range strike. Yeah. And obviously Sturridge came on and looked a little bit lethargic. But
it's good to see Brad Jones back in WA as well.
He made some really good saves as well.
I think he did too.
His story is really like underrated, and he hasn't been told much in Australian footballing circles. And I think it's something that needs to be told. And the emphasis that it needs to be placed on someone with, you know, his experience and what he's achieved in his career needs to be sort of emphasised.
Back on Bruno as well. I mean, I think like he's still going, but he will go down. Just I remember when he first came in the 2015-16 season. Yeah, I think he'll just go down as one of the best A-League imports of all time.
Absolutely.
I mean, just so constant. Well, there you go. There you go, Neil. Just a bit of news there on Ollie Solskjaer. just showing you, just a bit of Premier League talk that's just come in here. But yeah,
yeah, it might be sacked now. Yeah. Which is going to be great. Very good. Anyway, continue on. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, we've gone from Bruno Fornaroli to our Man United manager. But
these two have been. For those who don't know, Neil and Clem, they're two of the biggest Manchester United fans I know, and they've been hovering on their phones all morning waiting for the news about Ole potentially being sacked after losing to Watford early this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I was there at the Liverpool game just a couple of weeks ago, so bloody hell, I mean, I thought Ole should have been done there and there, but then and there, sorry, and... 4-1. I didn't watch the game because, I'm not staying up for 2 a.m. games, but I'm a bit of a plastic like that. But, yeah, just woken up and Googled Man United and seen they've lost 4-1, so a bit of a stitch up. So, yeah, see you later, Ollie.
And I think with back really quickly on Bruno too, I think that if he can sort of be the centrepiece for Perth Glory this season up forward, he could kick easily. He could do 15 to 20 goals easy as well, but like they sort of need to sort of play to his strengths.
Yeah. I think what I love about him is just being so consistent every season as well. And then a couple of seasons ago, whether it was the right decision or not, he was given the captaincy at Melbourne City.
Yeah.
Not being, obviously, his English has really improved as well over the years, but I think just, it's been someone that's just always stepped up to the plate no matter what.
And I think the most disappointing too was like him and Andy Keogh, I thought could have clicked, but it didn't click as much as what both men would have anticipated being a Perth Glory.
Yeah, for sure. And like obviously they both have it's funny, it's kind of almost like a league sort of a, you know, Championship League One sort of team at Perth Glory sometimes. You know, you've got Andy Keogh who's had that experience and Bruno has played in, you know, Italy and Greece. So and as you said, like it could have been sort of a partnership, but sometimes, you know, strikers as well in the modern game, it's usually just the one up front now. Yeah, so
especially when, you know, they play the exact same way.
Mm. Yeah,
up forward. So the two games this afternoon as well, Newcastle Jets, Central Coast Mariners, and MacArthur, Wellington. What are we expecting from the Jets-Mariners game first?
I'm expecting MacArthur fans to be very annoyed. That's the first thing I'm expecting.
Yep.
I'll just briefly touch on this. The state of the pitch was ridiculous. The fact that you're only looking at the pitch 2 days before the game occurs and seeing that it looks like a literal cow paddock, ironic, as MacArthur Bulls are the Bulls.
That's very state league over there.
Look, obviously, the very strongly worded statement from the council and MacArthur that they've obviously haven't informed the upgrades. It happens, but it's not acceptable by any standards. Pretty laughable. But anyway, going into the actual football, MacArthur should get the win. I think the Knicks are a very poor squad, but I mean, I'm eager to see Matthew Bozanowski play alongside Reno Piscopo, the two Melbourne boys.
Yeah.
MacArthur should romp them. I'm very, very, very certain. Also being played at McDonald Jones Stadium. For the F3 Derby, I don't know what to expect, to be honest. I think both sides are relatively evenly matched on paper, but the Jets looked really good last week. Daniel Peña with an absolute screamer against the Woo.
Yep.
Mariners have also got some good squad composition, a lot of youngsters coming through. So, should be cracking. Hopefully, we can get a good crowd as well.
What are you thinking, Clem?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with Neil, but I was couldn't help but think, like, do we like derbies in the first week of the season?
Look,
I mean, it doesn't happen
from a rating standpoint. Yeah, it's a good booster, but when you get 0-0 draws, not a great advertisement for the league,
no,
is it? So
Yeah. This has happened a few times over the years as
well. Kind of glad they avoid the Melbourne Derby and decide to do the Battle of the Bridge instead.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that was good. But obviously, with Paramount Plus's issues, that's just... Yeah. I don't know, man. I think overall, the league's had a good weekend. Yeah. But we'll just have to wait and see sort of how it plays out. Mm. The ratings will come through for last night. And that's sort of the marker we actually can compare ourselves against.
I think potentially as well, we just sort of... I would give still Paramount Plus maybe 3 to 4 weeks to fix these technical issues before we can really come down hard on them. Because I don't know, looking through Twitter last night and this morning, even people now are still very hard on, very, very hard on like Paramount Plus and that sort of stuff. And people forget about, as you say, KO and Off the Sport 2 and what they went through originally. Stan Sport also had a couple of teething issues.
Yeah. Did they?
I think they had like one or two like small minor problems. When they first started as well.
So you're a big rugby union fan. So you're a super rugby fan.
No. Yeah. Oh, no. No? Okay. I'm beyond
straight up no for that one.
I'm beyond a rugby
fan. The Springboks, mate.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, should we go down the AFL route and have like a traditional A-League opener, like same two teams at start off the season? Or are we just like, we just...
That's actually a really good question. I can't even lie with you.
That's not a bad question, actually.
I think City Brisbane's nice because they played first round last year as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Even like Adelaide United Melbourne victory, that could be an awesome.
That would actually be really good.
That'd be really good.
That'd be really good. I actually can't complain with that. Yeah.
I will say though, I'm not privy to the fact that I like Perth and Adelaide as an opener too. I think both teams they like to start. They like to have their first couple rounds together.
Mm.
So I think that would be also another avenue we definitely go down to.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But overall, some more football coming today and. Obviously, the A-League Women's starting in a couple of weeks as well.
Absolutely. We'll touch on that. We'll touch on Brisbane Roar stuff in a little bit more detail with Campbell Johnson very, very shortly. We'll take a small little break here, though, because we're going to talk about the Socceroos, China, and the change of the FIFA qualification process, because that went through during the course of the week too. Neil Simons, Clem Tito, Michael Thompson. More of Kickoff on the other side of this.
Listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
The boys are up and about because of the new A-League season, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were just dancing. No one can see us. We were dancing into that intro just then. But yeah, we're just so glad to have the round ball, Australian football's top flight back up and running again.
Also, Clem messaged, by the way, Neil, Clem messaged me this morning at about 8 o'clock saying how tired he was. So I blessed him with an almond latte this morning from one of my local drive-thrus, and he was very happy to see that.
I called it pretty early yesterday, 7 p.m. I called it. So I mean, there was no reason for me to be that tired, but I woke up and it was a nice little surprise from Tomo. Thanks so much for that, mate.
No worries at all. It's always good to start off the day with a coffee as well.
Love to see it,
especially on a Sunday morning as well, when a lot of people go out the Saturday night previously and been out of lockdown too.
Or go to Geelong for a football match and then come back at 12, and then
or you could do a Clem and just call it at 7 p.m. and go home. So, I remember Ethan, old rival of ours, and good mate of mine as well, Ethan, just like, "Are you okay? Something wrong, mate? Because you're calling it pretty early tonight." And it's like, "No, I'm just going to go home pretty tired, to be fair." So, you learn a lot of things in year 10 PD in high school. So, don't give in to peer pressure and whatnot.
Oh,
so,
my word.
Switching a little bit now to the Socceroos game against China midweek as well. A bit disappointing with the 1-1 draw.
I didn't watch this. I'm quite glad I didn't, to be honest.
Away, and it sort of beckons now. So for Australia, we're third at this point in time. So the table sits like this right now in our group. Saudi Arabia on top. They're definitely going to qualify right now. They're 4 points adrift of Japan in second. We're 1 point behind Japan in third. Oman in fourth with 7 points. China in fifth with 5 points, and Vietnam, 6 losses, don't have a win to their name. So now it's a bit different, isn't it, Neil, with FIFA announcing a different way for teams to qualify for the World Cup due to COVID. So I think they've gotten rid of the second leg. I think it's just the one leg now.
Yeah, so one leg neutral venue. The draw will be held on the 26th of November. So you're about to see Australian football either go into complete jubilation or just tatters. If we draw CONCACAF, if we draw CONMEBOL, is that right? I'm not sure. The South American.
It will be. North American.
Yeah.
So if
we draw the South American,
yeah,
we're screwed. I'm going to be honest with you. I think We can't beat Colombia in a neutral venue. Yeah. We can't beat Peru in a neutral venue. We could maybe. I don't know. But yeah, OFC would be great. We'd love to smack New Zealand. But yep. I don't see that happening, to be honest. But yeah, CONCACAF would be happy with just that outcome.
What if you get a new rules?
I'm a fan of it, to be honest. I feel like, you know, it's the best opportunity for both like teams to sort of come together. But I think support will be difficult because I don't see many Australians making a travel down if we make it. Let's hope that we actually don't have to be in that position. We've got a home game against Japan.
Yep.
We've got, you know, a Vietnam game at home and then Oman. So we get 6 points in the next two. It'd be good, but I don't see us doing that, to be perfect. Graham Arnold just has got his tactics wrong. He's just, there's a plan A, seems to be no plan B, long ball FC. It's just, you know, there's no, the squad composition's a bit weird. You can't get guys like Matthew Leckie in behind as a number nine, and you're not even playing Jamie McLaren, which, not to see him last weekend, against Brisbane, you can understand. But I'm really worried that the Socceroos actually won't make a World Cup. I'm being brutally honest. I don't think we're going to do it as we're playing at the moment.
Well, I know I read an article on the Socceroos website during the course of the week. Mitchell Duke, he's very, very bullish that we will receive maximum points. As put it there.
I'm not going to feed into to what a Socceroos player says about the chances. I couldn't care less. Look at that performance in isolation,
yeah,
and you'll realize that it's the rest on the players, rest on the coach. I believe in Arnold for now, but if these don't get ironed out, you know, these issues are going to iron out sooner, it's going to be difficult. But Clem, what are your thoughts on sort of that whole debacle?
Now, well said, Neil, in regards to not listening to sort of players say. And I feel like it's kind of been a bit sort of last two campaigns, I mean, it's not too dissimilar in terms of just think back to 2013. Sort of we waited until, you know, Josh Kennedy scored that goal. It was a 1-0 win to get us in there. And then 2017, was a very special night, but again, we waited until the very last minute. To
beat Honduras.
Oh, beat Honduras. That was came up on my memories the other day that, that was a special night. But yeah, again, it's a bit of form here that we're kind of, I think we're still going to qualify in very similar fashion where we're sort of, you know, last minute waiting until the end.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a few sort of interesting games. Surely of Vietnam. I mean, I said this about China, but surely Vietnam will pencil that in.
Maximum points, yeah. You'd, Vietnam.
You'd hope so. Yeah. And then we've got Oman away. That's not an easy task.
No.
Because you know, we've seen in the past, you know, teams like Jordan, you know, they can get us over there. So no reason why Oman can't. And over the years, we've played Oman and hasn't necessarily been sort of that convincing. So I mean, we've still got Japan as well at home. And
I think we can beat Japan at home. I'll be honest here. Yeah. Japan have got their weakest squad. I think we mentioned it last week. Japan have got a very weak squad.
Yeah.
I think we can beat them.
We don't know where that Japan game is going to be yet, do we? We don't.
No, yeah. I suspect currently they play at Stadium Australia. I'd like to think they might
sneak up for that one.
Same.
As a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't remember the last time I went as a fan. Covered a million Socceroos games. I think last time I went as a fan was like early 2010s, I reckon. Yeah.
They'd want to pack out Stadium Australia too now that capacity limits have been lifted.
I mean, they're playing the Matildas there the next week,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah.
I think so, that's going to be a big game too. Which yeah. Looking forward to seeing a yeah, big I mean, crowd out there too.
Yeah, I think obviously it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the whole sort of where these games are being played. It's really crucial because the Socceroos have based themselves, I think national teams in general within this COVID time, it's been very Sydney-based, but I'd like to see a game in Melbourne. I'd see the Vietnam game
yeah.
in Melbourne.
Yeah, well, Melbourne Rectangular Stadium is what it would be called.
AFC, yeah.
Yes, go on, Clem, sorry.
No, I was going to say, I've got a sneaky COVID credit flight still to use, so I'm like, I might use it. So I'm just like, I might use it on a World Cup qualifying game for the Socceroos. I reckon.
Why not?
Yeah, yeah.
Why so, not? Well, things stand now in the CONCACAF leg. Panama's the team that's currently fourth at the moment, so potentially, if we could take on Panama, potentially, it's not the worst thing in the world. But again, like you said, like it would be good to have someone from the Oceania side. Would love to take on like a New Zealand to try and get through.
So USA defs in, right?
I think so.
USA, yeah. Was it Mexico? No, Canada are top of the group.
Canada.
So Mexico are dead.
I look it up now. I think it's
obviously our listeners were obviously just going off the cuff here, but
yeah, Peru in fifth position.
Yeah.
At this point in time.
Okay, I'm looking at the CONCACAF qualifiers sort of table. So Canada are first, USA are second.
Ooh, Canada.
Mexico are third, Panama are fourth. Is it fourth or fifth?
Fourth.
Okay, Panama. We could be Panama.
Yeah.
There's another one for you to look up, Neil. I'm pretty sure Canada made it just the one time, and I think it might have been in 94.
That's right.
The top of my head, yeah.
They've got Alfonso Davies now. He's a difference maker.
Yeah.
Getting a take on, and then, America and Mexico, surely. Like, Mexico, maybe, potentially.
Yeah. If we play Mexico, I reckon, I mean, like, generally, they're probably, I don't even know, I can't remember if soccer has ever played them. At international level,
but how good would a playoff
in a competitive game?
How would a playoff be against New Zealand, though?
Yeah.
Well, we're assuming, obviously, it's the OFC. Yeah. It's obviously a bit different, but if we play New Zealand, that would be nice. Yeah. I think they'll be proved to be pretty difficult, I'd say.
Yeah.
So best case scenario would be 7 points. I would say draw against Japan and then win, or maybe win against Japan, win against. Vietnam, and then maybe a draw against Oman would be sort of maybe best case scenario.
Saudi as well.
And Saudi, that would be best case scenario.
Draw against Saudi.
If Saudi are locked in, they might not sort of, I guess, they might sort of not try as hard. So hopefully that works in our favour. Well, that'll be at Saudi as well, wouldn't it?
It's a brutal atmosphere. Yeah. The Al Hilal fans are still pissed off about the Western Sydney Wanderers AFC Champions League campaign in 2014.
And
then worst case scenario, how many points would be the worst case scenario?
For these next two games, we get a draw and a draw. I'd say a draw. If we could beat Vietnam, get a draw against Oman, not that bad. Mm. Draw both games, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Even for like fourth spot. So we'll see what happens.
Fingers crossed we can try and hopefully get through it. And I think the draw against China was not helpful in the slightest at all. But we'll take a short break now because on the other side of this, we're going to be talking to our guest of the week, which is 10 Football and Paramount Plus commentator for the Brisbane Roar Games. Campbell Johnson's going to join us on the other side of this. This is Kickoff on Southern FM. Neil Simons, Clem Tito, Michael Thompson, more. We'll also be talking about the A-League Women's before we are finished here at 10:30 this morning.
You're listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Back on Kickoff for your Sunday morning, Neil Simons, Clem Tito, Michael Thompson with you here till 10:30. Joining us now, he's our guest of the week. He just got the gig and we are very, very thankful to have him on as well. He's going to be the Queensland commentator for 10 Football, Paramount Plus. He's Brisbane Roar's own. He's Campbell Johnson. Campbell, good morning. Welcome to Kickoff.
Thanks for having me, boys. Kind words. And really excited. Cheers.
What did you think of the game on Friday night? It was a bit of a scare by the Brisbane Roar very, very late.
Yeah, no, definitely was. They fought really well towards the back end. And I think if you're the Roar, you're not entirely unhappy with this result. You know, you go to the reigning champions, the best side in the league, and, you do mix it with them. They did struggle at points. But I think a lot of people pre-game were thinking, this could get a little bit ugly with the probably lack of star power that the Roar had. I think a lot of people thought it could be 3-4-0. And I think they were worked pretty hard to get a 2-1 out of this one.
And Campbell, obviously, the Brisbane Roar have gone through a very interesting off-season. As you said, they've obviously haven't got the real star power they had last season. Losing Macaulay Gillespie, Riku Danzaki. Sort of, how do you feel that they're going to shape up this season? Obviously, they've got a very good manager in Warren Moon, who's obviously had extensive success at NPL level. Do you see them making the finals this season?
They could. I personally don't think they will. I think there's every chance they could, but when I look at the squad that is there, I think it's more like they're finishing around 9th to 7th, I would argue. That's where I think they are. I don't think they're one of the worst sides in the league, but I certainly don't think they are up there with the best. I think there's a few teams in there that are certainly better than them, and I think there's a few sides that are definitely worse. So I think they might surprise people because a lot of people, I think, look at the squad and go, like, where are the goals coming from? Very fair complaint, to be honest. But I think people are saying, where's that number one star for them. But I think they have an underrated squad, but I think they still will struggle, yeah.
Cam, Clem here. I mean, we were talking about the game on Friday night, and I think a lot of people expected Melbourne City to sort of roll over them. I guess, what are your sort of overall thoughts on the game on Friday night? And, I mean, they could have, Brisbane Roar could have easily stolen a point.
Yeah, they could have. And I think Kai Truan will be a little bit unhappy that he didn't score his first goal for the club. As well, you know, the goals weren't by Melbourne City as well, weren't the most convincing, to say the least. Curtis Good with a tap-in in the 40th. I probably would have liked Jack Ingot to stay at the near post. He drifted off and perhaps could have intervened to stop that one. And then also, you know, Connor Metcalf putting them ahead in the 43rd, or getting a second in the 43rd for them. It was a great ball by Scott Jamieson, and I thought both fullbacks for Melbourne City were excellent in this game. And that one, a massive deflection off Anton Milinaric, who I thought did play very well, actually, and I think he'll play a big role for the Roar this year. But yeah, I think they did well to get 2-1 out of this. And I think they, towards the back 15 minutes, and someone who's played really well in preseason, Luka Vanović, once he came on, it really disrupted play. He's probably going to play through the middle of the park this year most of the time. He obviously took the number 9 jersey when he's come from Sydney, and he's so good at running at players really quick and dribbling, making the defense ask plenty of questions, and obviously got on the score sheet. But I think he'll play a massive role. Everyone's talking about, you know, Lescano this, Lescano that. I personally don't, from what I've seen in preseason, you know, throughout the FFA Cup and whatnot, and what I've heard from the Roar camp, I actually don't think he's going to play a massive part this year. I think you're more looking at Cyrus Demme and Luka Vanović to lead the line for the Roar. So long-winded question, but yeah, they did well to get, they almost snuck a point out of it, and they'll be a little bit unhappy that they didn't.
And Campbell, tell us a little bit about your thoughts on the crowds coming back as well to the A-League, which is something that we've been missing, especially here in Victoria, over the last sort of 12 to 18 months. It's good to see the atmosphere back. I know these two boys have already been to, like Neil went to the game between United and Victory last night. Clem went to the season opener. But how good is it to see crowds from your standpoint back on TV and the atmosphere back?
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, we had crowds most of last year, and we got a little bit of a taste of it with the FFA Cup, which was great at local grounds at Lions and at Morton Daly Stadium. But I was a little bit actually disappointed with the crowd for the opener. I'm sure you guys can talk to this a little bit more regarding what the restrictions are down in Victoria with stadiums. But I was a little bit disappointed with the turnout there personally. But I was really, really impressed with, obviously, the Sydney Derby looked like an incredible atmosphere, and I wish I was there. And as well, I mean, 17,000 heading out to HBF Park, basically to see Dan Sturridge. I think I saw A-League memes, say that 17,000 were scammed out of it. So I thought that was brilliant. You know, you only got on for 5 or so minutes. But yeah, no, it's fantastic to see fans back in the stadium, especially down south. And I've, you know, I'm a Victorian, originally, and so it's great to see, you know, all my family down there out and about, and as well you guys get to go to some live football.
Yeah, Cam, I guess we were talking off air before, and then you talking about, yeah, interesting to see what the rules are. I'm probably the wrong person to ask, because we're having a bit of banter off air before, Tom and I. Just but yeah, I was pretty disappointed with the attendance on Friday night myself, and I'm sure Neil would have more to shed on light on Saturday night's attendance. But I guess, as you just alluded to, you're a Victorian yourself. I mean, and it's great to see. Congratulations on getting such a big gig. I guess talk to us a bit about your background and yeah, and how you sort of got into this, because you obviously did a bit of history of football Queensland in the past.
Yeah, so it's all kind of, it's funny you ask that. Like, it's all kind of come really quickly for me, to be honest. Like, I've been in media and broadcast media for quite a few years. I started in high school working for Triple M up here in Brisbane, and was working there for a few years and in and around the sporting space. So I got into that more. I had a podcast myself with a few mates from uni, where we'd interview players and whatnot, and from all different sports. So like, we spoke to the likes of like Alex Gersbach, Ryan Grant, these kind of players, which was great, and we really liked it. And so from there, we kind of I got offered a gig for Football Queensland to try out commentary, and that was about a year or two ago now. Within that period, and this season has really come on leaps and bounds for me in terms of with Football Queensland, I've really kind of taken a bit of a bigger role, like building throughout the year, which has been really exciting. And you know, I've you know, it's one of those things where you work really hard, and especially someone like myself, like I put in a lot of research hours, and you guys will know as well, it's a little bit tougher at the NPL level to do that, just with the resources that are out there. And even when you go lower than that, it's harder as well. But it is really rewarding, I think. And, you know, it's kind of come towards the back end of the NPL season where a few people got in contact with a few people looking for Queensland commentators. And I guess Channel 10 got in contact with me, asked me to send through some demo. So I sent them a couple of highlights that I'd done for some bigger games in the NPL, and yeah, you know, they were happy with it. And you know, it started off with the FFA Cup games. I was actually told I was doing the all the Brisbane games for the FFA Cup. So obviously the Peninsula Power versus Raw. And so this was just for the round of 32, and then the Lions versus Casuarina. And also I was told I was flying up to Cairns for the Gold Coast Knights versus Edgehill United game, but that got called off due to issues with NEP and Bar TV. Obviously, Simon Hill and I think Dan McBreen ended up doing that one in the end, which was obviously fantastic. I mean, the GOAT, you can't really talk much more about that. But yeah, and I was also supposed to be, I don't know how public it is, but the Perth games versus the Adelaide teams that were hosted, so I think like the Florida Athena and the ECU Joondalup game, they were going to be moved to Darwin to make sure they could be played. And so I was going to fly there and do them, but then obviously things changed and they could be played, I believe, out of, I can't remember if they were played in Perth or Adelaide, I think in Perth. But yeah, and then, you know, I then got the chance to do the round of 16 game with the with Lions and the Roar, which was very exciting. And you know, a week or so went past, and I called up the head of football for 10 just to ask for a bit of feedback and to say thank you, really, which I'll always be grateful for any opportunities that I get given at any level as a young commentator. And as soon as he answered, he kind of said, you know, oh, I've been meaning, you've been on my list to call today. And I was like, oh, okay, well, then you take it away. And he said, look, we're going to get you to do all of the Brisbane A-League women's games for the 2021 A-League women's season for the Brisbane Roar home games. And then he said, and we'll try and sneak you on a few A-League games here and there. So I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, and that's A-League men's, of course. And I kind of said, oh, yeah. I said, well, obviously, thank you so much. It's a massive opportunity just to do the A-League women's. And then to get offered some A-League men's games as well was brilliant. And I thought, oh, yeah, they'll just chuck me on at the end of the season just to, as kind of a here you go. But, yeah, first Raw men's game of the season, or home game of the season, I should say. And I see my name in there in the roster, which is massive. And I assume it'll be, you know, I'll do the Raw games when the Raw home games when Simon Hill's not available, or when Simon Hill's on other games. I assume that's how it'll work, and fair enough, to be honest. So hopefully heaps more opportunities coming throughout the year, and I guess we'll just see how things play out. A long answer there, but there you go.
No, it's a great story, Cam, and I think you hit the nail on the head as well when you're talking about, I guess, covering games from lower divisions, especially like Tomo and I and Neil here. We've commentated a lot of NPL games in the past, and I guess as you were alluding to, the research is it's a lot harder to do considering you really have to dig deep. You're calling people up. Sometimes it's not necessarily up to date. Team sheets might not necessarily have the updated squad players on it, which has happened to us at times. And I mean,
mate, the bane of my existence with number changes yeah. at the last minute. Oh yeah. my
and
word!
And then you get sprayed on social for getting the players wrong. Well, the team sheet
know
has
this
the wrong
person.
Name.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Team sheet has the wrong player on it. So,
for my experience calling the Monbulk, two Monbulk Rangers games in the FFA Cup down here in Victoria, it was very, very hard to get a grasp on like the players and that sort of stuff, and messaging people through Facebook just to get details of players. And yeah. there were a few people that I kind of heard the names of, but there were other players out there which I was sort of just flying blind for those two games.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I think one of the first games I did this season was early FFA Cup round when it's still like, you know, the early teams basically. And it was one of my first solo games really. And it was FFA Cup, Logan Metro versus Coomera Colts. And these are both sides. I think Logan Metro were in PL last year, so they're now in, I think, FQPL 3, I want to say, or FQPL 4. And then, which there's a whole new restructure that's happened in Queensland, which personally I think is good for the game up here. But and then Coomera were recently in FQPL 2. And like Enrique, obviously the former Brisbane Roar player, was their managing director and like played for them last year and had like head of football. So I had a good chat with him before the game, and he was not very confident in his side's ability. I think the off-season recruitment wasn't great for them. But yeah, basically it was names you'd never heard of throughout the whole team sheet. And it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare.
I guess Campbell, obviously, sorry about that. There's obviously a lot of talk about the Channel 10 team in terms of commentary, and also sort of the opportunities that they're able to be afforded to NPL commentators like yourself. What would you say is the best pathway for young commentators to actually make that step up? And sort of, I guess, gauging from your experience, obviously you've mentioned that research is of thorough importance. Are there any other sort of tips you'd provide to the young commentators of today?
Yeah, obviously, I think at least the good thing we can see now is that there is that pathway building. You know, you start off with your football Victorias, your football Queenslands, things like that. You get given a chance there, and all you have to do is, I guess, take each opportunity as it comes, work hard, and opportunities will be afforded to you most of the time. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, you know, nothing's going to get handed to you. You always have to work for it. But I think, yeah, research to me is the most important thing. And I think also finding, in terms of your notes, what works for you. I mean, everyone has a different style. So Simon Smale up here does it differently, where he writes, he has, you know, a big notebook that he has. And whereas I commentate off an iPad that I've got linked documents and stuff like that. And that's something that actually really elevated my game, I think, because for me, the most important thing, especially because you're not going to know everything about every single player in a game off the top of your head most of the time, right? So the thing that I think has helped me a lot is, and I think commentators can, or young commentators can take a bit from this, is how can you get your information, or how can you read your information in the quickest way possible, if that makes sense? So how can you access that information in the most effective way, where you don't need to take your eyes off the game too much, and you don't need to lose the ball, for instance, or, you know, or just get out that information as quick as possible, rather than shuffling through a million bits of paper? What's the easiest way you can do it and simplify it? And obviously that's different for everyone, but that would be my number one tip. And as for how exciting it is with Channel 10, I mean, this is, I heard someone, I can't remember who it was, describe this is Channel, or as Australia's Premier League moment. And it is really an exciting time to be involved and to be a fan as well. I mean, the money that's being put into football in this country is unprecedented in Australia, and it's really exciting. The marketing, I think, has been fantastic. The team that has been built has been brilliant, I think. Obviously, there was a few teething issues with the broadcast, but that's always going to happen. But yeah, it's a really exciting time. It's really, I think it's really strong by Channel 10 to give chances to, young and also just generally established, local commentators as well.
And I think getting to worked to almost with the likes of, you know, getting to see, you know, people like Tao Palazzari, Michael Zapponi, Simon Hill, getting to see those guys commentate too. You can sort of take a lot out of what they do week in, week out when it comes to research and how they call games, and you can sort of mold that into your calling a little bit, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that, and I'm sure you guys can talk about this as well, feedback is very hard to come by when you're a young commentator, when you're a commentator in general. You know, you try and get feedback on how you're going from say your manager at Football Queensland or Football Victoria, and it's very hard to do. And also, that's not their primary job at the end of the day, so they can't. And a lot of them probably haven't done it in the past as well, so they kind of don't. They know what they're talking about, but it's hard for them to say what you're doing right or wrong, if that makes sense. So I think the research, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Listening to those more experienced commentators is the best way that you can get feedback. You know, even from 10, you don't get too much feedback. It's kind of like if you're getting gigs, that's your feedback, you're doing well. And that's how it works. You know, I've been told that's how it works with Fox, and that's how it works in general. So in terms of your feedback, you know, you can go to other commentators than us. I've been quite lucky where Simon Hill's reached out to me and with some very kind words, and, you know, has given me some feedback, which is very handy. And also just listening to them, you know, you pick up little things here and there. You're like, okay, yeah, I can use that and put my own spin on it. And I think, you know, especially the pace of how a game plays out is something you can take from experienced commentators as well.
And Cam, I think all of us here know Simon quite well. And a couple of years ago, I was just having a private chat to him, which hit me pretty hard because I couldn't help but ask him about 2006 World Cup, and he did that by himself. And I was just asking him about some tips and pointers. And one thing that really jumped out at me is, and he brought up that when he first came to Australia from the UK, it was he watched a bit of NRL and he just couldn't get over, you know, I guess, how animated the commentators were, but as opposed to football.
Yep.
And one of the big things he told me was that when there's nothing to say, just say nothing. And I'm like, that's a good point of advice. I mean, and how do you kind of see that as a young sort of commentator? I mean, like, and I guess like Tom and I fall into that trap where we feel like we need to fill in the silence, but in reality, sometimes we don't actually have to.
Yeah, no, and I've fallen into that as well, where you go, yeah, I need to be saying something at all times, especially when you're new to it. And that's something I've heard from Simon to me as well. He's kind of said, you know, don't be afraid of the silence, don't be afraid to not say anything. And it's something that I completely agree with, and it is unnerving when you're new to commentary, of going, you know, I feel like I have to be saying something and justifying why you're there. But it is something that is really crucial. And let me just say for a second, Simon Hill, one of the nicest guys going around. Definitely. Yeah, so you're absolutely right. And that's something that Simon said to me as well, in terms of, you know, you don't need to be saying something at all times. And I've heard it from multiple people. And I think it's not an issue that just young commentators fall into. I think a lot of commentators at state level, I guess, or, you know, at NPL level can do. And I've done it in the past as well. And especially when there's an atmosphere at the game, I think that's when it's the most important too, when it is lively and it is, you know, there's a good crowd. Let the crowd kind of do the talking for you at times. I think can be a good way to go. And I think it's a sensational bit of information. Of course, Simon, the best commentator in the country, especially for football. I mean, he's a goat for a reason, and you know, he's got great tips. And anytime I listen to a game he's calling, I certainly take a lot out of it.
Cam, we really appreciate your time this morning. We might get you to join us over the course of the season as well, especially with the A-League women's season starting in a couple of weeks. We might get you back on there, chat a bit more about that in detail. But thank you again for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Too easy. Anytime, boys. Anytime I'm free. And I appreciate you bringing me on this morning. And enjoy the rest of the season. And yeah, let me know anytime you want to join. But thanks for having me.
Campbell Johnson joining us there for a chat. Quick break. We'll come back and preview some more of the A-League women's season before we hand it over to the team in the next studio for the Secret Cricket Show. This is Kickoff on Southern FM.
You're listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Welcome back to Kickoff here, Sunday morning here. Neil Simons, Clem Tito will be joining us very, very shortly. Michael Thompson with you. Good chat there with Campbell. Looking forward to seeing what he can do in season 21-22 for not only the Brisbane Roar games in the women's, but also the men's, Neil.
Yeah, Cam's great. Lovely guy.
Yep. Happy to give up his time.
Yeah, he's really emblematic of one of the sort of the NPL success stories in the commentary realm. And good to see him sort of make that step up. And he's done fantastic. He's got that voice for it. He's really doing well, and it'd be great to see him sort of progress over the course of the season. But obviously, A-League Women's is another pressing point we need to touch on, Tomo.
Yep.
Season starting, I think, in 2 weeks. Yep.
Friday the 3rd of December, yep. Wellington, Western Sydney to kickstart the 21-22 A-League Women's season, and then the doubleheader continues with Canberra and Melbourne City, which I'm actually looking forward to watching too, because both sides are really, really good, as we touched on with Rihanna Polichina a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Sydney had a disappointing season last season. She comes in for a bit more X factor into that Melbourne City squad. Mm. And then, of course, Canberra United have got a really stacked squad as it is. And they've got a fantastic training academy at the AIS.
Yeah, I think that, obviously Canberra, they've re-signed Michelle Hyman.
Yeah.
They've also, got a lot of young players as well in that side. And I think for City as well, obviously, with Naomi Chinema, who I'm going to keep an eye on, Caitlin Carrich, Rebecca Stott. They've got a really good squad composition.
Bubs.
Bubs as well. Not sure if she'll start, but still, regardless, I think she's a wonderful asset to the game.
She's still playing assistant, I think, at City as well. Like she's still the assistant coach over there. And
Rado's obviously the main guy.
Yeah.
Rado Vidicic. But, I think City will definitely finish, top four of the season and get that finals place. Good to see Wellington in the league finally, which is great. Obviously,
unfortunately, they can't do it over in New Zealand at the
moment. They might eventually, I think.
Not the start though.
Nah.
Because they'll be here, I think they want to be here till at least the end of the new year. I think both Wellington men's and women's teams want to be here to the end of the new year. And then I think 2022, like January, they're going to talk to hopefully the higher ups to try and get the fixture changed so they can have a couple of home games, couple of double headers over in Wellington, which
I think,
will get the crowd back.
Obviously, Wellington are playing their home games at Wynn Stadium in Wollongong. So, we just need to see what happens there. But Victory have also got a very good squad as well.
Yep.
Courtney Nevin, Kara Cooney-Cross, Harriet Withers, who's killed it for Calder United. They've got a lot of good young players as well. Paige Joyce, they picked up from their women's academy as well. And also, it's really good to see, I think, FE emerging players just get picked up across the competition. I think Perth Glory, obviously, with Alex Apakis at the helm, they picked up a lot of good players as well from the FE emerging. And I think just a big question, shout out to Dean Giorgio, who's also got those players, those moves, and he's a really good videographer as well.
You put a smile on Clem's face just then, too.
Oh, great minds. I was about to say the exact same thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because as soon as you said Paige's voice, I'm like, and Kyra is obviously another, a lot of these girls that he's worked with.
Yeah.
You
know. I'm also looking forward to seeing what Alana Janczewski can do as well over Perth Glory. Really good to see her getting the opportunity to play for Glory this season too, Clem.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. Yeah, doing owns and sort of just going back to a couple of years ago working with some of these players as well before they made W League. It's kind of it's so cool to see, to be honest, like especially like you're dealing sort of with their parents, and so it's got a kind of a little bit of a personal feeling as well there. You want them to do well because you kind of seen their journey and sort of I guess the hard yards of sort of driving the training and balancing that with school and the big goal is to play for Australia and that's a big thing. So it's not easy for someone to, I guess, move their life across the country all the way to WA when you've lived in Melbourne your whole life. So it's a big thing for her, and hope she kills it.
Absolutely. Neil, really quickly, what's to come on Kick 360 this week?
Yeah, we've had one of the most sort of jam-packed weeks in history.
Congratulations, by the way, on securing the Kickcast on Clutch Radio 2.
Oh, yeah,
listen to the first episode. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, thanks, man. Obviously, Julian and everyone at Clutch Radio have been very good to us, and It's good to get the podcast on Clutch, obviously join the very good football stable they have at the moment with Beyond 90 also getting a getting their podcast
and
on
also
there,
the Brisbane
Football Review
football
as well.
Review too.
So they're building a really good hub for football content, so make sure you check out Clutch Radio. But obviously, yeah, a lot of stuff on 360, from everything from a nice little Connor Metcalf read, obviously, to the key takeaways we covered. We're covering four games this weekend. We've already done three. double headers are not fun. Double headers are not fun to put out.
No.
But we did it. And a lot more to come this week. I think Louis Dorigo's locked in. A lot of other interviews are locked in as well. So stay tuned to the website and more content coming this week.
Huge thank you to Campbell Johnson for joining us this morning. Really appreciate his time and efforts too. Looking forward to seeing what he can do. That wraps us up for another edition of Kickoff. Clem, thank you.
Cheers, Tomo. Always good to talk to you, mate.
Thank you, Neil.
Cheers, mate.